Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
It is my honor to read a resolution honoring both Doug and Aline. Let me read that for you. It's in small print here, but I've fortunately have it in large print. Whereas Doug, class of 1967, and Aline, class of 1968, have lived to know him and to make him known. And whereas Doug and Aline have devoted their lives to studying and teaching God's word, and whereas Doug and Aline have had an international impact for Christ through serving in Jamaica, Spain, and Cuba, and whereas Doug has served at Jamaica Bible College and with World Team Institute of Church Planting in Spain, and whereas Aline was Dean of Women and taught for 11 years at Evangelical Christian Academy in Spain, and whereas Doug created multimedia coursework for the Latin world and continues to encourage pastors, and whereas Aline leads CIU's Praying Ladies to intercede for CIU students, alumni, faculty, and staff, and whereas Doug and Aline have exemplified the ability to lead by serving, and whereas Doug and Aline have raised two children in a godly home, establishing before them a love for God, for each other, and for God's work in the world, be it resolved that we, the undersigned members of the board, faculty, and staff of Columbia International University and Alumni Association give thanks to God for Doug and Aline Krott. Declare them Alumni of the Year 2019, and that we hereby communicate to them our heartfelt gratitude for exemplifying the values of CIU and for their faithful service to reach and disciple others for Jesus Christ. Given at Columbia, South Carolina, this first day of November in the year of our Lord, 2019.
This is surreal. We'll try to get into it. Okay, yes, you may go now.
It was 9:30 p.m. the day before Thanksgiving when the president of CIU summoned everyone to the chapel. Faculty and staff had to come from their homes. Students had to come from their dorms, some even in their pajamas. I was a sophomore, Doug was a junior. As part of the CIU family, we gathered to praise God for a huge answer to prayer. The funds which we had been praying for all fall had come in. That money completed phase one for the construction of this campus. That God had done this made a huge impression on me.
It was right here, my senior year, in this room, where I first gave my first ever full public address to the largest audience ever, all the students of Columbia Bible College and faculty. Certain seniors in the government were required to give their senior chapel talk to the whole student body. Was I ever scared? I felt so hopeless, but I must add that God surprised me that day in such a way that the memory of that day would encourage my expectations of what God would do again and again and again. I want to use the same text this morning that I used on that day in January, Romans 5. Oh yes, it's the same old text, but for me, it's always filled with fresh, personal meanings. Throughout my years as husband and father, I've held on to these words. As I've led our family, these words have been my eternal guide for a long obedience in the same direction. This is a live recording of that day.
The scriptures, Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we also rejoice in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh steadfastness, and steadfastness works approvedness, and approvedness hope. And hope putteth not to shame, because the love of God is poured out, marginal reading, into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, given unto us.
Your voice was so young. My goodness. It was here, in this very room, I think, just right over here. I saw an anonymous young man who was playing a timpani solo at the Christmas concert with the Ambassador Choir. After the concert, I went up to him and introduced myself. Little did he know, that 5 years later, we would be married. Doug has been the best gift, one of the best gifts that I've ever received from CIU.
In my 3-year experience at CIU, it was so profound that when I considered marriage, I felt that I needed to marry somebody who had shared the same Bible college experience as myself. I felt there was no way I could communicate what I'd experienced here with someone who had not been here as well. So I, Douglas, with a very small heritage, married Aline Petty, who had a very large generational Christian heritage. Although my feelings of hopelessness have dogged me throughout my life, I have been sustained by the love and commitment of my wife and family. Along with my basic training here at CIU, Aline and I have both discovered more deeply our true identity and callings in Christ.
Although I became a Christian at a very young age, my own family and the CIU family modeled for me a living relationship with God. They depended on God for everything. Were they perfect? Absolutely not. But they walked humbly by faith and trust. Everything was soaked with prayer and faith.
Coming to CIU was a grounding, life-changing experience for me. But there was one professor.
Is this there?
No. It is?
No.
It's not there.
Shh, don't.
There it is. Okay. There was one professor with whom I identified closely and whose words and lessons still live in my heart today. His name was Buck Hatch. Like me, he too had come from a spirit-crushing growing up family experience. I have hundreds of hours in class with Hatch. This amazing man taught me the scripture. It was in those classes that I first drank in gallons and gallons of grace. As a child, the relationships in our family did not encourage me to find my true identity in Christ. As I went to high school, to university, I became a very disoriented, displaced person. 10 different towns in 8 years. I was desperate to find meaning for my life. From age 7 to 14, my life spiraled profoundly downward into a lifestyle of hiddenness and shame. I kept asking myself over and over, who am I? Who am I? A deepening separation from my true self produced seemingly bottomless, ongoing psychological suffering. I was broken utterly. I was overwhelmed by waves of forbidding, hopeless brokenness. I prayed, "Oh God, if there is a God, reveal yourself to me." At Colorado State University, just before my 21st birthday, I found the Christian way. Soon, I discovered from Scripture that my lifestyle was a really bad idea, and I turned away. Those dark memories of my adolescent years have proved to be a huge, ongoing thorn in my flesh, a weakness, a liability, but it is a liability that constantly invites the grace of God. Throughout all these years that I've been enabled by the words of Scripture, by the Spirit of God, and my many faithful friends to live in obedience, listening to the inner sustaining voice of the Holy Spirit.
From an early age, I have been called to, I was called, or felt called, to serve the Lord in missions. My childhood years were enforced during my college days here. The professors made the Scriptures just come alive. I determined in my own teaching that that was my goal, to make the Scriptures come alive. Daily Bible reading and prayer became a habit that has kept me to this very day centered in Christ. Do I doubt? Oh, yes, yeah, sometimes. Do I worry? Oh, often. But every day I renew my trust in Him. Before we left for Spain, I was really worried about our uncommonly gifted son, Jeremy. He was uncommonly gifted with dyslexia. How could he function in a foreign language when he really couldn't even get English? But he tells me that was the happiest days of his life, being in Spain. You ask him, and he will tell you, oh yes, it's all about Spain. My part was to trust. It just isn't automatic. As a mother, I didn't want to jeopardize our children's lives in the various settings where we have lived. What a beautiful Jesus-following family. You saw them all up here. What a beautiful family God has given us, including three adventuresome, inquisitive, fun-loving grandchildren.
In these 56 years, and that's 20,617 days.
He does count his days, as the Scripture tells us.
In these years as a Christian and almost 50 years of marriage, I have come to realize the power of the words of the Scripture in Romans 5. In those words, I have found my personal call from God. I am to be a patron of the hope that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. A patron of the hope, patron of the hope that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we went to Jamaica, we went to Jamaica with the conviction that we would die and be buried there. This is 1972.
Who wouldn't want to live in Jamaica?
But we only stayed there 5 years. During all the new experiences of those years at Jamaica Bible College, I began to be captivated by the great mystery of God found in the lives of many biblical characters. However, I was not prepared for my reaction to the classroom work I had proposed as my life work. Within 6 months, I realized the classroom was not where I could flourish. I wanted every class to be a masterpiece, and that just isn't possible. I felt overwhelmed by hopelessness. Lord, just between you and me, how are we going to get out of this? We're here for life. Gratefully, my colleagues gave me space to explore my calling. I could have panicked and fled, but instead I chose to do this. To ask the Spirit of God to teach me the meaning of rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. So, during my first missionary experience in Jamaica, I encountered a verse in Ephesians that spoke to my soul. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God is working in me. I am his poem. And this brought a mind-transforming thought. I am, by God's nature in me, creative. That's why I wanted to make masterpieces. I'm an artist. But being basically untrained, little did I know that I was launching into an uncredentialed wilderness as an artist in a missionary church planning mission culture. I am like the Apostle Paul in Ephesians. So this is my sermon for this morning. It's a sermon in a sentence. Come on, sentence. There we go. Like the Apostle Paul, I have been captivated by an awareness that I've been called by God to be a patron of the hope of the gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ. I came to terms with the great mystery of God, who is, I saw, that I was to be called a patron of hope, but never patronizing. A patron, I pushed the wrong button. Now what do I do? There we go. A patron is a special guardian, a protector, a supporter. What I saw was that I was called to be a champion for the hope of others. But that had to be alive in my own soul, seeing how hope had found glory in my own journey. Hope finds glory. We have to personify hope. Hope finds glory. Hope found glory in my journey. Hope is specific. It has an object. What about hope in failed language learning? You know, I spent 11 years in Spain and I still can't speak Spanish.
Very well.
But I can work in Spanish. I can edit in Spanish. But I can't have a simple conversation. A lot of times I don't know what's going on.
He does better than he thinks.
How about hope in finding projects like this God? How about hope at the World Team Institute of Church Planning in Sacramento, London, Toronto, and Philippines? How about hope in my many friendships and mentors? How about hope in Spain and again in Cuba? How about hope in filming the Yali story in Indonesian? What is the object of hope? The ultimate object, if I can be so crass, the object of hope is the glory of God. And in all those places, we saw God show up and show his glory. I had been living out the motivations of an artist in all of my work without feeling free to give it that name. Freedom came when I could theologically embrace this identity in my calling from God. I aspire to encourage hope in others. When I have joined another's journey in their walk of faith in one-to-one discipleship, often they too have felt this hope. I got this definition of hope 32 years ago. Hope is to eagerly and unshakably wait for an unseen but certain outcome. But where does certainty come from? It comes from the cross, the tree of death and suffering. And what is the certain outcome of the tree of death and suffering and Christian hope? It's the tree of life. I'm not afraid of paradox. In fact, when I embrace the cross, I embrace this great paradox that the tree of death and suffering is also the tree of life. The central paradox of the Christian life is that the tree of death and suffering is the tree of life. This central paradox of Christianity allows us to love our own brokenness precisely because it is through that brokenness that we image the broken body of our Lord, the broken body of our God, the highest expression of divine love. It's taken me 56 years to understand this little bit about the cross, but all along the way, there has been hope bringing me along. Let me finish by saying this. I embrace this paradox of the two trees and therefore thereby direct my life, my workmanship, my poema toward the glory of God. As I live my life artfully, I unself-consciously am a patron of hope eagerly and unshakably waiting for an unseen but certain outcome. And it all got started in earnest right here on this spot 52 years ago. Amen.
As alumni of the year, we both have been very baffled. Why us? We are just ordinary people doing ordinary things, but with a God who intervenes. As we have reviewed during these past months our lives and ministry, our hearts have been filled with gratitude as we have been reminded of moments when we felt his hand was upon us.
And like the Apostle Paul, we feel the very least of all saints. So thank you, CIU, for being such a big part of our lives. Yeah.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.